Beloved of God, would you pray with me? Holy God, speak to us this day, we humbly pray. Use me, use every heart and mind in this room. Call us, God, to change the world. We are listening. Amen. Go out to deep waters, deep waters, where only faith will let you go. Go out to deep waters, deep waters, harvest of faith will overflow. Go. How many fisher people do we have in the church today? Do we have any fishers? Awesome. Awesome. Do you know what I'm talking about? When I say the phrase dead water, I learned this concept from a colleague of mine this summer. Dead water is a place in a lake or a river or a stream or water of whatever kind that is too murky or silty or polluted for life to grow. It happens when water gets isolated from other waters, when there isn't enough movement and mixing, when there isn't enough light getting into the water, it gets polluted, overrun with silt and muck, overloaded and out of balance, and it becomes dead water where fish and other life cannot thrive. For the most part, good fishing doesn't happen, can't happen in dead water. Fish don't do well in isolated space like this. For the most part, good of most kinds can't happen in dead water. You know what I'm talking about. Like water, like fish, we don't do very well isolated and on our own, do we? We often think we can hack it. The myth of the American dream tells us we can be anything we want all on our own, right? If only we work hard enough. Beloved of God, is that your experience? From poverty to parenting to addiction to mental health challenges, this myth that we can do it alone is breaking us. And so much messaging in our world, right, tells us to worry about ourselves and let our neighbors take care of themselves. Does that work, beloved of God, either? From sweatshop labor to healthcare and tax reform, the lie that personal gain and personal comfort are worth ignoring the suffering of our siblings in Christ, it's pulling us apart from one another. And it's making the waters dangerous. Isolation, stagnation, and disconnection, they create dead water. We cannot thrive there. This is what was happening in the 8th century BCE, 2800 years ago, when our prophet Amos from this morning's scripture lived. Do you know the story of the prophet Amos? How many of you really know the story of the prophet Amos? Whoa. Okay. Here we go. Amos is the first writing prophet. That doesn't mean that he wrote. He would have scribes writing for him. But he's the first prophet whose prophecies are written down. Before him, we have prophets like Elijah, whose stories are written. but whose words, whose prophecies are not written, collected in this way. Amos starts a tradition that will lead us to other writing prophets, more famous prophets you might know better, like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, like Micah. I see nodding heads. You know these prophets better. Amos was a shepherd from Tekoa. He lived in the 8th century, in the time of the divided monarchy, when there were two kingdoms. The southern kingdom was Judah, that's where Amos was from, and the northern kingdom of Israel, to which Amos becomes a prophet. And he lived in a time of relative peace. Under the kings Uzziah and Jeroboam, who both had relatively long tenures as king, and he noticed in these peace years that the people of Israel, who had been renowned for caring well for each other, they had rules and systems and structures in place to take care of one another, to be good to their neighbors. He noticed in these peace years, they'd become complacent and lazy, and a wealthy class was beginning to emerge. And, as wealthy classes usually do, the wealthy class was emerging at the expense of others. As Amos says in chapter 2, verse 6, they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth, and they push the afflicted out of the way. Amos is not really cheery reading for a Sunday morning. As Rolf Jacobson at Luther Seminary said of this text this week, if you like Amos, you don't really understand Amos. His prophecies indict pretty much everyone, and he doesn't mince words. He accuses the people of sexual sin, of neglecting the poor, of selling the needy, of pushing the afflicted out of the way, of holding debts they will not forgive, of sleeping on the cloaks of the poor by the altar while the poor are shivering outside. He accuses them of separation and isolation, of caring only about me and not about you. If we're paying attention, Amos' accusations will ring painfully in our modern ears. Sexual sin? Turn on the news, right? Every news report seems to bring more to light as to the depths of sexual immorality, of rape culture, and misogyny in our communities and our leaders. We've turned away from each other. We've violated each other. We've not believed victims when they've spoken up. We've created dead water. Selling the needy for a pair of sandals? We live in systems of such economic injustice that some of us cannot afford health care or basic housing or healthy food, are so mired in debt we cannot thrive. We've created dead water. Turning our backs on each other, holding debts we will not forgive, pushing the afflicted out of the way. Indeed, Amos indicts all of us, doesn't he? He could have been speaking today, not 2,800 years ago. Amos' rebuke and accusation leads to this powerful and painful challenge that you heard Price read this morning. It shook me when he read it. Did it shake you when Amos says that worship offered in dead water like this, people praising God but not leaving the temple to care for the needy, support the afflicted, change the world? Did you hear what Amos says about that kind of worship? Amos said, God despises that worship and rejects burnt offerings made in that place. Oh. And Amos says, voices lifted in song in praise of God, if those same voices are not lifted to speak up for the lives and rights of people in our communities, for the love of neighbor, that song, did you hear what Amos said? That song is just noise to God. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, God says, according to Amos, when that sacred music is played in places where complacency and violence reign. Perhaps where we have assault weapons in churches and schools and movie theaters and concerts, and our response is to offer thoughts and prayers rather than to change the rules about weapons. Our song is just noise to God, coming from dead water. Okay. Beloved of God, enough about dead water. We have, in our faith, another kind of water we are offered. Go out to deep water, where only faith will let you go. Go out to deep water, harvests of faith will overflow. Go. What is the kind of water that our faith teaches us about? Not dead water, but what kind of water? Living water. Living water. Beloved of God, we are a people not of dead water, but of what? Living water. But let justice roll down like waters, the prophet Amos writes, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That's the kind of worship that pleases our God. Thanks be to God, there is another way. We can be creators of living water. We can be church that is fountain, that is pool, that is stream of living water. To paraphrase a colleague this week, we don't have to sell the needy. We can give ourselves to them. We don't have to trample the poor. We can lift them up or carry them. We don't have to push the afflicted out of the way. We can make sure they get the help they need. We don't have to practice sexual sin. We can be people who prevent sexual violence and trafficking. We don't have to live in systems of debt. We can be people of forgiveness. We don't have to abuse power. We can be people who use power for good. In other words, we can leave those dead waters and swim from isolation towards each other and create living water together. Lives depend on it. Our lives. The lives of our neighbors. Worship in isolation, without service, justice, righteousness, it's noise to God, according to the prophet Amos. But beloved of God, I don't hear that noise here. In this space among you, I have known living water. Have you known living water here? Where have you known living water, life-giving ministry, justice and righteousness happening in our church? Where have you seen it?
Pomegranate Institute.
The Pomegranate Institute. Jeanette's Closet.
Thanksgiving boxes.
Thanksgiving boxes.
Adopt a child.
Discussions about welcoming diversity in our community. Sunday school. Did you see all those kids? Sunday school, living water.
Caring for each other.
Bible study, prayer group.
Peter Holloway.
Peter Holloway and his helping hands. Feeding each other each Sunday downstairs, a feast on the table and a feast for our souls as we connect.
I was just going to say the ecumenical meeting because of the youth attending with other members of the church. It was in the area.
Yeah, outside of our walls, the ecumenical meeting. We join with other churches in Bridgeton and in the area to scheme up good and holy mischief in town. Where else have you seen living water? Do you have something? Oh, yes. We have an 18-member ukulele group that meets downstairs on Tuesday nights, living water and music that is not noise. It is holy and pleasing to God indeed. Jeff Fry and his helpful hands, living water, all the behind the scenes caring for each other that you do, living water. Our choir. Our choir, living water.
How about all of the committees that we have?
Holy guacamole, we have a lot of committees and each of them serves in the name of God and love of neighbor, living water. Gifts that are given so that we can, oh, so that I, through the Pastor's Good Works Fund, yes. Gifts that are given as our gratitude overflows, so when people call the church needing help for rent or gas or oil or heat or diapers, as we got last week, I can say yes, living water.
People
here who have opened their homes to people who are homeless.
Kathy Fink and the representation from the Church of the Lake Region Substance Abuse
Coalition. Yes. Kathy Fink and the Lakes Region Substance Abuse Coalition and all who have been involved in serving and supporting those living with substance abuse, substance use disorder. Yes.
You.
And you.
Our mission offerings.
We are a 5-for-5 church. We give generously. Mm-hmm.
Jeremy and his gifts.
Jeremy and his gifts. Living water.
NAMI. On Monday nights.
NAMI, yes. The mental health family-to-family group where you can come and get support. Living water. We could go on all day. Living water. Beloved of God, it is hard out there, and there is lots that would pull us to isolate and step away from each other. Come to the living water. Come to each other. Dwell in these gifts named and what you named in your heart. There is another option. There is another way. Go out to deep waters, deep waters, where only faith will let you go. Go out to deep waters, harvests of faith will overflow. Go. Beloved of God, it's good that so many of us have our sneakers on today. A sensible fashion statement for the fall workday that is coming, and also an excellent metaphor to end my sermon. A metaphor for what our world needs, for what our faith needs, for what our God demands of us, which is love in action. That's the kind of love God wants. Faith with our sneakers on is the kind of faith God calls us to. Prayer that gets us out of the pews and daring to live as answers to our own prayers. That's the kind of prayer God wants us to pray. People of the living water, that's who God calls us to be. People who connect and care for each other and do not step away when it gets hard. People who know we are bound to each other so intimately. Jesus once called us one body. As I close, I confess, this was supposed to be a stewardship sermon, and I have failed you. I haven't. Sorry, Jim. Sorry, stewardship team. We agreed it would be today, and I haven't mentioned money once. I did write that sermon. You now know I write multiple sermons per Sunday. Perhaps I'll preach that more traditional sermon about how to give another time. Today, I needed to say this. I believe our church changes lives, and we have lives that need to be changed. I believe our church saves lives, and beloved of God, we have lives that need to be saved. I believe in a time when we are isolating and creating pools of dead water everywhere I look, I believe it is you, First Church in Bridgeton, Maine, who are creating some of the most living water there is, where justice rolls like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So, Jim, I will say this. I want to be part of this. I want to be part of you with all that I am. I want to give to this church, so I will pledge 5% of my salary in 2018 to you and what we are doing here. And also, I want to keep my sneakers and my work clothes on because I am pledging my spirit to this community too. I am pledging all the gifts that I have to keep the waters here flowing freely, to keep changing lives, to keep saving lives, to keep being a community whose worship happens here in this sanctuary, yes, and also as we leave this place and go out into the world, into the deep waters, turning our worship to action, our song to justice, our prayer to peace. Won't you join me, beloved of God, in living water that rolls like justice and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream? Alleluia and amen.